Hi there, and welcome to episode 314 of the Ski Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and today is the first in our series of Chamonix stories. If you are a regular listener, you'll know I was lucky enough to spend 2 months in Chamonix last winter. Episode 313 was a special episode that focused on what makes a resort so special, from history to high mountain, glaciers to guides. As I was interviewing people in Chamonix, it soon became clear that I couldn't tell all their stories within that single episode, and so this series came together. I have 6 Chamonix stories to share with you, all touching on different elements of what makes Chamonix special. Today, I'm delighted to bring you my conversation with Alain Lemesson and Bastien Sayar from Zagskis, the Chamonix-based freeride ski brand. I met them at their Argentière R&D centre, where they make and test prototypes before releasing them for sale. We discuss the origins of Zag, the process of creating and testing new lines, sustainability, and their plans for the future. Zag has always been one of the most innovative ski brands, full of ideas and enthusiasm, and I think that comes across. So sit back and let's listen to the first of our Chamonix stories. I'm very excited to be here in Chamonix, in Argentière. Currently, I'm sitting with Alain Lemesson, head of marketing at Zagskis, and Bastien Sayar, shaper and head of R&D at Zagskis. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for showing me around your workshop. I mean, it's so interesting. As someone who uses skis, you kind of know that they are layered, but you have no appreciation for everything that goes into them. And it is really interesting. And I thought maybe it might be good to start off by asking you, Bastien, about that creation process. And really, I guess the key question is, like, why are you making skis here when you could be making them in a factory somewhere else?
Yeah, to develop a good skis, I think it's really important to ski the skis a lot in various conditions of snow and terrain. And it's a really a sport of sensations. So you need to really understand and feel what is going on with the skis in crusty snow or icy snow powder. It's kind of logical to have like a place like this just at 200 meters of the Grand Monte to be able to try the skis and modify the shape, the construction in a really few days and try a different version when you develop a pair of ski.
Yeah, I mean, you said we're about 200 meters from the Grand Monte lift just here, but you were explaining to me earlier that the prototypes that you use here, you give to a key team of testers and they're taking on the mountain. I think it might say on the website somewhere that every Zag model is smashed, thrashed and put through the ringer to make sure they perform. But you work with these guys closely. They test the skis and give you their feedback immediately.
Yeah, it's really important to well understand the feedback of the testers. So we are discussing a lot together. There is like maybe 5, 6, 7 testers, no more for the first stage of the development. You need to know the people's, all the ski, all the feel, because the sensation you have on the skis after, you need to translate in front of the computer, in front of the 3D design to make the next prototype more accurate. So this is something that's really easy to say, okay, we felt this on the skis and to correct it, we need to change this parameter and not this one.
Yeah, and you're making the prototypes here in your workshop. Based on the feedback, I think you told me that you can have someone test on a Monday and then have a different type of ski for them to try maybe by the Friday. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We developed a special lab here with a special process to be able to mold a prototype at a really low cost and really quickly. This is not the same process than the factory, but we are using the same raw material. So we are really able to build up great skis here and transfer directly to the factory when they're ready.
It is an amazing process. Having just been talked through it downstairs, you know, everything has to be very precise. I think you're talking about having everything within 0.1 of a millimeter.
Yeah, exactly. The machine we have here, it's a really, really precise like they have in the factory. It's just a bit slower because we have more time. We don't have the production rush. But this is, 0.1 precise. And this is so important to be precise at every stage of the process.
Cool. And so you're going through these prototypes and, you know, there's been a lot of great feedback from people I know who tested the Matter ski at the ski test in Champalouc earlier this year. I think you told me that with the Matter, you went through maybe 40 or 50 different prototypes to create the final ski.
Yeah, I don't have the exact count, you know, in my head, and I don't want to know it. This is a lot of prototype, and for the Matter, you can imagine that we try many different things. So I have some crazy prototypes here. Some were good, some were very bad. But yeah, at the end, the Matter is a really great product, and we are really proud of it. And we are really proud that we developed the Matter here.
Cool. And just to give listeners an idea of the lead time, how far in advance, the type of prototypes you're making now, would they be for launch on the market in 2028, 2029 or 2027, 2028?
Normally now we are working with the season 2028, 2029. But I think we are, compared to majors, we are more flexible. We are a small brand, so we can go also faster when we need to go faster. And this is a really, really important when you want to be very accurate of the needs of the market.
That's really interesting, Bastien. Alain, I wonder if I could just turn to you. I was reading about the origins of the brand, and like downstairs, we actually saw the Freeride 75, I think it's called. It just looks so strange now compared with modern freeride skis, but it is a ski that's over 20 years old, isn't it? I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about how the company came about.
Yeah, sure. So Zag is the nickname of the founder at the beginning, Stéphane Zag Radiguet. So Stéphane is a snowboarder at the beginning, and he was a shaper at Nidecker snowboard. Basically, Zag came from an idea where Stéphane wanted to like get the same feeling that he has with his snowboard, but with skis. And that's where Zag idea, I would say, started in his mind. Basically, he wanted to, yeah, get the same feeling on skis as he gets with his snowboard. That's the start of Zag.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading about that earlier. Like, he was an instructor for UCPA and his nickname was Zag. And I think that's so cool. And Nidecker were thinking about making skis. He created a prototype for them and they didn't want to do anything with it. And that's what led to him setting up Zag. And, you know, they were skis that just didn't exist at the time, right?
No.
They had a huge shovel. Were they the first skis with rockers as well?
We could say that. Yeah, we could say that. I think that's true. A short radius kind of rocker. I don't know if I can say this, but yeah. It was like really innovative and we won the ISPO.
Yeah, the ISPO award for innovation, was it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So until 2007, there weren't really many other skis operating in that area. When I was doing my research, I read that actually the fact that Julien Lopez, he won the Freeride World Tour in 2009 on Zag skis, and that made a big difference, really brought them to the forefront. You relocated to Chamonix here in 2010, and you explained, Bastien, the big advantages of that, being able to get on the mountain every day. More recently, around 10 years ago or something, there was a kind of redesign on the skis and the top sheets. You know, they really stand out with some of the graphics. You were explaining earlier, sometimes you can't always get exactly the design you want for production reasons.
Yeah, so, I mean, before 2015, I would say the design was not there for that Zag. We tried many different direction, but we didn't find really our path. Then we started working with a great agency in Paris to find what we are now, and we are really happy about our direction in general. So
and they're very distinctive, the top sheets and the graphics now. And, you know, more recently, you've been looking to pursue growth in new markets. I mean, it's a completely different scale company. How do you balance growth with, like, the core values of the brand?
I mean, at our scale, at the moment, it's not a big issue, I would say, because we have so work to do still on the table. I mean, we are growing in France, which is our main market, but our big target for the upcoming season are Germany, Austria, Switzerland, close to the Alps, I would say. For sure, we still have the US and Canada in mind, but yeah, it's a different project at the moment.
Cool. Well, and the UK as well. As I mentioned at the ski test, the Zag Matter was rated really highly. And kind of interesting, when we were downstairs earlier, there was a Kiwi and an American both snapping up a pair of skis because they've been here in Chamonix and they've seen them. I wonder, Bastien, if I could just bring you back to the construction of the skis. Another thing I found interesting, and you see this in the branding on a lot of the skis, that they've been using the Zag Green program, and you've tried to bring in, you know, more elements to make the skis sustainable, reduce their impact.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really important to use this new raw materials or process in the factories. Here in the lab in Chamonix, we are using like bioresin, like a 60%, something like this. But in a factory, it's not easy like that to use this kind of product. So there is a lot of development.
And are you also using recycled edges and bases?
Yeah, exactly. Recycled bases up to 80% of recycled base. The top sheet is made with 50% of bio material also. So we always try to use this kind of bio materials, but we don't want to sacrifice the performance and the quality, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. And so in terms of the factories where you're having the skis made, they're generally located in Europe. I think maybe you use one in Tunisia as well. You said to me that you wouldn't get them produced in the Far East.
No, because there is a lot of transport. It's important to be close to the raw material supplier. It's mostly in Austria, Germany.
Right.
So it's really interesting to stay in Europe.
Could you tell us, Bastien, what you're working on at the moment then? What's what are you looking to bring out for the forthcoming season?
We have like, we just finished like the final test for resin at 80%. With a strong partner in France. The name is Sicomin. We are really proud of this resin because it's really applicable to the factory. It's perfect.
We've mentioned the matter, you know, a few times before. There's the slap line. UBAC as well is a ski touring line. There's a new line as well called the Aroc. What, remind me what the Aroc is?
Yeah, the Aroc is a new all mountain ski for next season.
Right.
It's the brother of the matter, I would say, in the all mountain category.
Okay. Is that on sale at the moment?
No, it will be next fall.
You know, in the future, we will try to stop work with line like this. Well, it's not easy to sell a slap 92 at the same, you know, name than a slap 112. It's not the same skis, not the same customers, not the same program. So in the future, we will have like more names, and maybe we will keep the UBAC, you know, line. But the others, it will be like strong names, the Mata, the Aroc, and new ones.
Okay, so you're saying to me that there's a kind of a new product line that's going to be announced later this year or something?
We are working on it.
Right, excellent. Well, I have to tell you, it's been so interesting having a look around, finding out more about the construction of the skis and getting a real insight into how you test them here and how you bring them to the market. And I'd really like to thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you found this look at Zag skis interesting. I love getting feedback from our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode or if you have any comments, please do let me know. You can do that by leaving a comment on Spotify, Instagram or Facebook, or drop me an email to theskipodcast@gmail.com. We're also on WhatsApp. I release exclusive material ahead of each episode there. Look in the show notes for all those links. I have had some feedback from listeners about our Chamonix special in episode 313. Mandy Gourlay said, "Really interesting and packed with information. I definitely need to return to Chamonix as I've never seen the mural." David Spendlove on Twitter said, "Great episode, very informative." Milsey1976 contacted me via Spotify to say how much he loved the interviews with Tony McWilliam and Victoria Jameson in episode 309. There are now 314 episodes of the Ski Podcast to catch up with, all available at theskipodcast.com. I had a look earlier and 150 of those were listened to in the last week alone. So if you would like to keep winter in your mind through the northern summer, then just have a look around the tags and categories and you're bound to find something of interest. Emma in the Glens has been doing just that. She contacted me via Instagram to say, I've just spent 6.5 hours binging old episodes of the podcast on my way from Perthshire down to the Manchester Snow Centre. The Ernlo and Blade Lions episodes in particular were fascinating. That's great to hear, Emma. Listener, if you did enjoy this podcast and you'd like to support the podcast, then you are very welcome to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/theskipodcast. Right, I'll be back next week with another very different Chamonix story, this time with Katie McInnes from the Silent Sessions Project. Until then, listener, thank you for joining us, wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.